Forward. I was raised Mormon in a comfortable suburb, protected from the urban dangers of impiety. Soon after my 8th birthday, my father baptized me in the font tucked behind an accordion door in the humble church hallway I'd scurried along since I was old enough to walk. I thought everything would change that day. I was, after all, a Latter-day Saint of my own volition now, washed away of the sins I'd accumulated in my childhood. As the song I sang every Sunday morning went, I want to live the gospel, to know I am heard when I pray, to know that I will be happy because I have learned to obey. This was my chance to show my parents what a good Mormon girl they'd raised. Unfortunately for my folks and the whole lot of unnaturally friendly churchgoers, my obedience wouldn't outweigh the forces of logic and reason brewing within my developing brain. Suffice it to say, I grew up not knowing other atheists. I often felt that I might be the only person in the world who didn't require the comfort of an almighty being, who scratched her head, perplexed, when she heard others pontificate about personal relationships with the Lord. After brief exposure in an elementary school class, I began smuggling philosophy books from the library. By 14, I'd had enough of the confusion, manipulation, and lies, and I officially broke away from the church, a defining decision for my own life and my relationship with my family. A decade later, I found myself working in the nascent field of science communication. I met David Silverman for the first time at the American Atheist Convention in Austin, Texas in 2013. It was an important gathering, celebrating 50 years of advocacy, education, and activism by and for the atheist community. David invited me to come and speak to the attendees. It was an exciting time for me, as I'd given many talks about science, but I'd never spoken to a live audience about my own atheism. Of course, I'd known of David from television and print media. I knew he was the president of American Atheists. And I knew him on Twitter as @MrAtheistPants, a fitting handle if there ever was one. At the time, I was working as the senior science correspondent for a major news outlet, and I supplemented my income with on-air appearances and speaking opportunities about science communication, women in the sciences, and evidence-based thinking. I had spoken frankly on a number of small television and web programs about my lack of a belief in God, but my atheism still felt personal, a fight within, a worldview that took years of lonely struggle to cultivate and fully own. I didn't understand the depths of the atheist community that existed outside my comfortable life. David saw me as a contributor to the cause, and he reached out to me. He asked me to speak, and I obliged. Just as his story rings familiar to so many people, mine too resonated with my fellow non-believers. Perhaps that's why David asked me to write the foreword to Fighting God. I think this book is important for a number of reasons, but in the interest of time and respect for your patience, you came here to read what David has to say after all, I will focus on two. First, it will arm you with a vast array of tools, weapons, if it so pleases you, to face the not-so-hospitable world as an out-loud and proud atheist. I wish I'd had these tools available to me as I struggled to come out as a teenager. I wish the firebrand tactics outlined in this book had reached me way back then. A billboard, a television appearance, some way to see that there was a movement out there, and I could be a part of it. Second, and perhaps most important, Fighting God chronicles the how and the why of David's intense hunger for activism and social change. Make no mistake about it, David is an unapologetic atheist. He will make it known to whoever comes within earshot of him, and he will gladly engage in heated debate or even attempt his brand of de-indoctrination of dogged theists who dare approach him on the street. But to be plain, David is not a dick. He is thoughtful, kind, and highly moral. But to those who incorrectly presuppose that the atheist lifestyle is one of dickish confrontation, David may just deliver on such prejudices. I myself take a fairly different approach. I speak publicly, yes, but I avoid debate with creationists and the like. I find common ground with the agnostics, skeptics, freethinkers, disbelievers, irreligious, and all the other thesaurus-loving, God-questioning people out there. But We all do have our limits. I suppress an eye roll every time someone describes him or herself as spiritual. I found in my personal conversations with many prominent thinkers such as Sean Carroll, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, the late Chris Hitchens, Lawrence Krauss, Bill Maher, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and even Seth MacFarlane that it takes all types. We non-theists are as varied as any other group of random people, bound together by the single commonality that we don't believe in something. We approach our secular lives as differently as our histories will allow us. I can't speak for everyone when I say this, but I wouldn't be surprised if it echoed in the sentiments of many strong thinkers, both within and beyond the so-called atheist movement. David Silverman has been instrumental in defending the First Amendment rights and civil liberties of non-religious Americans who would otherwise fall through the cracks of a political system powered by evangelical crusaders, hell-bent on maintaining a moral majority in this country. You see, David's fight is not his alone. It's important to all of us, even if we choose to go about it in a different way. He may never have met another person from the Third Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Plano, Texas, but he has made the path easier for the next young girl who wakes up one day realizing it's all a bunch of bullshit. Cara Santamaria, science communicator, television presenter, and producer, host of the Talk Nerdy podcast, Los Angeles, California, December 2014.